chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. We're going to have Brother Kerry come up and recite that for us. And Kerry?
Morning, church. And happy Chinese New Year. We can turn to our Bibles, please. We're going to focus on the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. That's what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Amen. Well, as you know, we are all going through many, many sufferings and trials. But God is going to speak through Pastor Richard. And he titled this morning's message, Our Suffering Overflows as We Share the Comfort of Christ. Pastor Richard.
Thank you, Kerry, and Happy New Year! It is indeed a Happy New Year because we share the comfort of Christ. We do. So today we embark on a sermon series in 2 Corinthians called The Overflow of the Christian Life. In these four sermons, we will see together as the body of Christ, as the church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that our suffering overflows as we share the comfort of Christ. Our poverty overflows as we share the riches of Christ. Our sacrifice overflows as we share the reward of Christ, and our weakness overflows as we share the power of Christ. When I say that these difficulties overflow as we share the blessings of Christ, I mean that these difficulties will be powerful and at times will consume the lives we live in this world. The Christian life without suffering, without poverty, without sacrifice, and without weakness is one in which we cannot have hope in the next life at all. These struggles must be a reality for a Christian, or we cannot be sure of our own testimony of faith. If we believe, if we are following Christ, there will be at least some of these experiences. God promises that we will share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, or we will not have a true Christian relationship with Christ at all. If our treasures are in comfort on this earth, then that is where our treasures will remain. There is nothing of heaven for us if there is no suffering, no poverty, no sacrifice, no weakness. But there is everything, every blessing, every reward for those whose treasures are in heaven, for those who hope in the next life. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, when Paul wrote the book, the letter to the Corinthians, the second letter in our scriptures, Father, he wrote from a position of weakness, of suffering, of poverty, Father. He wrote from a position of sacrifice, Father. He was not strong in his own strength. He was not powerful in his own strength. He suffered, Father. He sacrificed, Father. He lost everything in this world, Father, for the sake of knowing Christ, Father. He loved Christ, Father. So I pray that we would love and cherish Jesus Christ so much that we willingly suffer, so much that we willingly sacrifice, Father, so much that we are willingly weak, Father, so that we might have the strength of Christ, Father, so that we might depend on you in our weakest moments, in our moments of greatest suffering. Father, I pray that you would move our hearts to embrace these difficulties, Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, so that we might follow him and know him. Father, I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We start with 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Paul rains praises on God, the Father of Jesus Christ, who is also our Lord and God. He is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. God is the only source for any true mercy and any true comfort. There is no other real lasting mercy or comfort anywhere else. Though we may seek it many other places, it will not be satisfying comfort outside the mercy and comfort of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ comforts all those who believe in him in all our affliction, all our suffering. He offers us comfort so that we might offer others comfort with love in our hearts as they suffer afflictions in similar ways to our own. We all suffer some sort of affliction, and those who love and follow Christ are guaranteed to suffer in this life. But the comfort we receive in Jesus Christ and his work for us through the gospel of his great glory allows us to comfort others in the same way he has comforted us. He offers us overflowing comfort in our suffering, overflowing riches in our poverty, overflowing reward in our sacrifice, and overflowing power in our weakness. There is no other God but Jesus Christ, and it is only in Him that we can receive these blessings. It is only through the gospel that comfort exists for the human condition of pain and tragedy that we face because of our sin. 2 Corinthians 1:5. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. When we come to Christ through repentance and faith in His life, death, and resurrection, we come to share abundantly in His sufferings. Living the Christian life is a life of great poverty, sacrifice, and weakness. This is because when we come to follow Him, we are called to lose our life in this world for His sake, in order that we might find our life eternally in the next. Those who truly seek to be saved from the wrath of God and have the blessing of knowing Christ must be willing to give Him everything in order to have Him. Anyone who would treasure heavenly things must cast aside earthly things. We cannot have two masters. We cannot have the abundant comfort of Jesus Christ without sharing in His abundant sufferings. Peter speaks of this as well in 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice, rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. But those who share in Christ's sufferings have a source of endless joy. Christians can rejoice and be glad when persecution and difficulty comes, because very soon Christ's glory will be revealed. In fact, even now, Christ's glory is being revealed in our sufferings, in our poverty, in our sacrifice, and in our weakness. The apostles knew the revealing of His glory in their lives. Their joy and gladness was full, even as their suffering was powerful and great. The apostle Peter experienced many similar sufferings to those that Jesus suffered. As he shared in Jesus' sufferings. The Apostle Paul suffered perhaps more than any man who ever lived besides the Lord Jesus. But all Christians are called to share in the sufferings of Christ. Though each of us suffer differently, we all suffer together. We all suffer for the sake of our love for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:6 continues. For if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. When Paul was afflicted, there was a purpose in his affliction. Just as Jesus was afflicted for our comfort and our salvation, so was the Apostle Paul. Our sufferings as Christians are for the sake of the comfort and salvation of others. When we suffer for the name of Jesus Christ, we point others to Him, and it is in Him that we find true comfort and peace. We find this comfort when we suffer with patient endurance. Although all of our sufferings are different in their intensity and difficulty, we all experience the same sufferings in the sense that we are all suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ. All the sufferings of the Christian life are the same in that all these sufferings are meant to point to His comfort, His riches, His reward, His power. We treasure Jesus more than we treasure the comfort offered by the promises of this world. All these worldly promises are temporary, but the promises of Jesus are eternal. They are infinitely better and infinitely comforting because of the amazing value that exists in His glory. Colossians 1:2-24 reflects this reality. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of the body, that is, the church. And so the Apostle Paul rejoiced in his sufferings because they were suffered for the sake of the church. Christ's afflictions were not lacking because of any imperfection in him, but instead because Christ has a purpose in working out his saving purpose in each of us. The sufferings that Paul experienced filled up the purposes of Christ for our sake, for the sake of his body, the church. So too, Paul called on us to fill up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of our brothers and sisters in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:7. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, so will also you share in our comfort. Paul not only had hope for himself as he shared in Christ's sufferings, but had an unshaken hope that as his brothers and sisters in Christ shared in the sufferings that he was experiencing, so also they would know his comfort that he received from Christ. As Paul's suffering overflowed to the church, so would Paul's comfort overflow in Christ through God's love for them. Christ's love has been demonstrated through the cross, and his comfort is promised to all those who will hope in him. 2 Corinthians 1:8. Paul said, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction that we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." Paul did not want the church to be in the dark about what had happened to him as he ministered in Asia. Though our sufferings might not be exactly the same as his, Paul wanted us to know that the Christian life would be extremely difficult. Paul had been so utterly burdened beyond his strength that he had despaired of life itself. Paul's suffering was so bad that he had no strength left to go on. This suffering was not merely physical and emotional, but deeply spiritual. He had despaired of going on with his life at all. The burden that he felt was so strong that he had lost all hope in continuing in this life. Paul was one of the most faithful Christians to ever live, but he had been broken by what he had experienced. 2 Corinthians 1:9. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was not to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He compared the suffering he had experienced to one of complete and total failure. He had been brought to the point where he was ready to die. But in contrast, this suffering had come for a purpose. God had allowed, even caused, these sufferings so that he would not rely on his own strength, but instead on God himself, who has the power to raise the dead. Even when our lives have come to the point of death, we trust in a God who can raise us from the dead even after we have died. We can rely in our suffering not on ourselves, but on our God who raises the dead. And surely God has raised his Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. That same power of God that raised Christ from the dead lives in us through faith. Paul wanted to know the suffering, the poverty, the sacrifice, the weakness of his Lord Jesus Christ so that he could know Christ's comfort, his riches, his reward, his power. Philippians 3:8. Paul says in Philippians, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Paul knew the surpassing worth of Jesus. No suffering was so great that it was not worth suffering for the sake of gaining Jesus. Paul would count everything that he had as a complete loss in order to know Christ Jesus, his Lord. He would suffer the loss of everything he had if he could gain Christ. He wanted to know him. He wanted to know his comfort. Philippians 3:10-11, Paul goes on. He suffered that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul would give up everything he had to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. He wanted to share in Christ's sufferings, even become like him in his death, so that he could share in his resurrection, to be with him. It was worth it. The power of Christ's resurrection can move our hearts to endure the sufferings of Christ, even to the point of death. The reward of knowing him in his eternal resurrection is greater than any loss we experience now. While we might have suffering and affliction now, the one who trusts in Christ will be with him and have pleasure forevermore. The presence of Christ will wipe away every tear. His comfort will overflow when we arrive in his heavenly kingdom. The psalmist knew this truth. Psalm 119:50. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The psalmist knew that the greatest comfort could come in their affliction because the promise of God gives life. The promise of Jesus Christ gives life, even through suffering, especially through suffering. Jesus suffered greater than any man that ever lived, and he calls you to suffer for his sake. Take up your cross and follow him. You see, we've sinned. We've broken God's law. We haven't followed Jesus as we should. We don't, in our sinful hearts, want to suffer for his sake. Instead, we reject him. We would have him die for us, but we would not want to die for him. And because of that, we are under judgment. We deserve eternal hell. And the suffering there will be worse than anything that we could suffer for Christ's sake. But yet we ignore the warnings. We reject Jesus. We say we will not have Jesus as the center of our entire life. We sin. But Jesus, even while we were in our sin, even while we were rejecting him, unwilling to suffer for his sake, he became a man and suffered for our sake. He came and lived as a human being. Before he became a man, he was always God. He never experienced the physical and emotional, spiritual suffering that we experienced. But he came and lived a life for 33 years. He suffered. He was weak. He was poor. He made sacrifices for others, for us. And if we trust in him, the life that he lived can be our righteous life. His suffering is for us. His weakness is for us. So that our suffering can't even compare to what he went through, because he was innocent and pure and righteous, yet he suffered for our sake. And his righteousness is ours through trust in his suffering. As if that weren't enough, at the end of his life, he allowed himself to be persecuted and tortured on a cross, taking the more pain than any of us could experience physically. But beyond that, he suffered spiritually on the cross. He took that hell, that wrath that we deserve, unto himself, so that when we believe in him, he took that wrath for us. He suffered for us. And then in his suffering, we saw the greatest hope. Because when he finally died, his body did not decay because he rose from the dead on the third day. The power of God raised Jesus Christ. After his suffering had been complete, after it killed him, the comfort of God was seen as Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father and lives in perfection and comfort forever and ever, returned to his position as God. Though he was always God, he had suffered and been restored to pleasures forevermore at the right hand of his Father. So if we trust in this life he lived of suffering, this death he experienced to pay for our sin, and the power of the resurrection of Jesus, we too, by that power, can suffer for his sake, knowing that his reward will be ours in the end. So Paul knew this truth in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 10. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Christ had delivered Paul from such terrible suffering and deadly peril in the past. And Christ would deliver Paul in the present. And on Christ and Christ alone, Paul had set his hope for deliverance in the future. No matter how bad things had been, no matter how bad they were, no matter how bad Paul knew they would definitely be, Paul knew that his only hope was in Jesus Christ and his comfort that only he could provide. King David, 1,000 or more years before, knew the same. Psalm 138:3. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. King David felt the same as Paul. In the past, when he had called on God, he had answered him. God had delivered him. He had given David strength in his soul. David knew the comfort of his coming Messiah, Jesus. David continued, Psalm 138:7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. In the present, David knew that even though he walked in the midst of trouble, God would preserve him through every suffering. God would stretch out his hand against every enemy, every suffering, and deliver him. As David's suffering overflowed in this life, the comfort of Christ his God delivered him from his pain. Psalm 138:8, David said, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me, your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." And David knew that the Lord would fulfill his purpose for him in the future. The Lord who endures forever would deliver him again. While the purposes of God included suffering for David, he knew that God's steadfast love would carry him through. God's great comfort would never forsake him. And Paul concludes about his sufferings in 2 Corinthians 1:11. "You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." Finally, Paul treasured the prayers of his brothers and sisters in Christ. He knew that these prayers were effective in granting him comfort through the power of Christ. He knew that his only hope of deliverance from the suffering he experienced was in Christ's comfort, and that as his brothers and sisters in Christ heard his testimony of his suffering, they would pray for him. Application number one. Comfort others with the same comfort with which you are comforted by God. Paul gives his testimony of God's faithfulness to him in the great depths of his suffering so that he can share the comfort he received during the time of his distress. We should do the same, both with a purpose to build other believers up and to share the gospel of God's grace with those who do not believe. Share the testimonies of your suffering. Tell others of how faithful God was through your difficulties, of the power of his resurrection. Tell others about the gospel, the good news of Jesus' suffering. And that is why we suffer, for his sake, to fill up the afflictions that he experienced. Application number two. Pray for others who are suffering with an eye of gratitude towards God's past faithfulness, his present deliverance, and his future grace. Trust in him that he will deliver all of us finally from our suffering. His kingdom is coming. His kingdom is here, but it is coming. And there will be no more sorrow, suffering, sickness, or tears in his kingdom. So as you pray, pray for his kingdom to come. Pray for relief from the suffering we experience now. Pray for relief for those who believe or feel they have the sentence of death, even now as we speak. Pray in love for one another. Let us pray now. Dear Lord, I know that as Christians, we all experience great suffering, Father. It's not always suffering that we know about in others' lives, Father. We don't always share with each other the things that we're dealing with. Sometimes the things we suffer can be invisible to others, Father. But we know that all Christians are promised suffering. They all experience suffering in some way. So I pray that we in love will point each other to the comfort that is in Jesus Christ, Father. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.